Good morning!
Good morning!
I hope you've been having a great weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got it. Amen. But I just want to say that I bring you greetings from Manila, Philippines. We had an awesome global leadership conference. And every year what happens is we meet around this time, July and August, first week, in the United States. And we have leaders come from all around the world. But this one, Kip decided we should have it in an easier place where we can have many more brothers and sisters who can come and attend the Global Leadership Conference. I know the, you know, so this one was interesting because we had not just Debs and I, but we had Johnson Vandana come there. Amen. And that was fantastic. Then we had also Parthiban come there for the Ben. Then we had Satish come there for the conference. Satish and Parthiban stood out over there, single guys. It was fun. But we had Pratap and Maheshwari come there. Simon also got to come. And then we also had Pamela come for that one. And it was fantastic. And we also had, Tamil and Jayshree should come for that one. So it was really, really interesting. And for the first time, they didn't see two brown guys. They saw seven more brown people there. You know how it is. Always two brown guys. Me and Debs always are there. But this was interesting. And the conference was awesome. And it had, you know, it just, I think this leaders meeting, the brothers will be sharing, and sisters will be sharing some stuff that they learned. That's why we have an open leaders meeting. Be here. Yeah. Are you with me? And you will have a good time. So they have good news to share and things like that. But it was an awesome conference.
Yeah.
There was a cultural program for 20 minutes.
Wow.
Non-stop. And that was hard to keep going non-stop for 20 minutes. There was awesome lessons. I think they're already there on the in the internet, I think. You can view it, watch it. But, you know, for us, we had a good time. We went around. We had to walk from the place where we were staying up to the conference, come back, late night fellowship, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2.
Yeah.
I heard it just goes non-stop. And I know we're looking forward for our own conference, the South Asian Mission Conference coming up in April 2018.
Yeah.
I know that's going to be special for us because we'll have, you know, Luke tells me he's going to help at least 100 brothers and sisters from across the world to come for the conference.
Whoa.
We're going to have the Bangalore guys come, we're going to have Delhi guys come, and I believe we have about 500 people out there for the conference. Are you with me? And I think it was, you know, we had an awesome one last time, but this is going to be much more awesome. I believe that it'll have a lot more people to come. Now, one of the things we were doing is we were reading the book of Revelation. And I thought I'll have a sermon from the book of Revelation this Sunday and next Sunday. And probably the next Sunday too. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And I have titled my message simply as Seven Churches. The Seven Churches. And you know, if you read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, you find that Jesus talking to the seven churches. And if you, in Revelation, there are numbers, and all the numbers, they signify something. There is a meaning to it. One stands for unity. You know, if you see two, it stands for strength, or being there for one another. Three stands for the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number four stands for, you know, the cosmos, for example, east, west, north, south, the four corners of the earth. So that's what four stands for. Six is imperfect, seven is perfect. And then 10 stands for complete. 12 stands for religion, the organized religion of God. You know, the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. So that's what it stands for. And so, If you're reading Revelation, then you come across these numbers, and they all mean something. They signify something. And I believe when Jesus speaking to the seven churches, I don't think there were only seven churches there. There were seven more churches,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Definitely there was a Corinth church.
Yeah.
But you don't see Jesus speaking to the Corinth church. Oh,
yeah.
Corinth is missing. No, Corinth was always there. Mm. And I believe seven means Jesus saying, in these seven churches he's speaking to, everything that he wants to convey has been conveyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What has been conveyed to them? Surely we should be opening our ears and listening to it.
Yeah.
I have 2 points this morning. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. My first point is, be prayerful. Be prayerful. Revelation chapter 2, follow me from verse 1 onwards all the way to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in their right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, and the kingdom of God said, Amen. You know, it's awesome to see over here what Jesus is speaking over here. He says, he's speaking in the first church, that's in Ephesus. He says, you know what? These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. You go, what does that mean? There's one thing, when you start reading the Bible, people have all these funny explanations. Have you come across some of them?
Yeah.
They give their own fancy interpretations of, oh, this means that, oh, this means this, oh, this means the world is going to end. One of the rules, and one which is very helpful, is when you come across something in the scriptures, search the scriptures for answers. Look in the Bible. God will always have clues here and there in the scriptures. So you don't have to make up some fancy thing. You go right into the scriptures and you understand what it says. Now, go back a little bit to chapter 1, Revelation 1. Look at verse 20. Revelation 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and now the seven golden stands, lampstands, is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So we need to go back, go down again. Jesus says in verse 1, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand. So what are seven stars? Mm-hmm. And then it says over here, and this and walks among the seven golden lampstands, the churches. A little more, let's do it more. This is Jesus giving an explanation. He says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The word angels could be angels, or it could also be called messengers. Or in other words, the leaders. So Jesus is talking to the leaders of the church.
Come on.
Do you get that angle?
Yeah.
So when he says angel of the church, he's saying, hey, leader of the church.
Come on, preach it.
Then he said the seven stars, the seven lampstands, of course, is the church itself. So Jesus addressing to the leaders as well as the church.
Yes.
Put it together, church in all. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so when you read the Bible, you got to go, don't create your own meaning. Look into it. The New Testament, you'd be shocked. Many of the things in the book of Revelation especially is picked up from the book of Isaiah, Zephaniah, is most of them are from the Old Testament. In other words, if you don't know the Old Testament well, you'll struggle to understand Revelation. Without the Old Testament, you cannot interpret Revelation. Sadly, we don't believe in the Old Testament is all finished and gone. Now, without Old Testament, you can't interpret what is happening in Revelation. We are a church that believes in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to be Word of God.
Yeah.
We don't say Old Testament is gone.
Yeah.
Don't tell me the Word of God suddenly is gone. Yeah, that's what the I don't know if you're from the Muslim background, but I've read the Quran, and that's the belief that if there's a revelation from God, and then later on there is another revelation of God on the same topic, the first one is obsolete. The second one only counts. Can you imagine that? So you don't know. First one has come. You're not very sure. Should I follow this or not? Why? Second one may be coming. Second one comes, you don't know very sure. Should I follow it or not? Why? Third one may come. With the Bible, everything stays. Are you with me? No changes over there. So Jesus is talking over here. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work. You know, when I read about this, I think about our church here in Chennai. It's a very hard-working church.
Amen.
And seriously, you know, I believe all the house church leaders that we have here, Ben and Sam, Roger and Yesa, John Johnson and Vandana, everyone works extremely hard to make sure things move forward. Amen. If you're a leader in the church, I know you work hard.
Yeah.
You're reading the Bible talk. I know it's hard work.
Yeah.
And I surely know my Spartan leader, Satish, works hard too.
Yeah.
But it is hard work. There is no doubt on that. We work hard. Second, it says over here, I know your deeds, you work hard, your hard work and your perseverance. I think we have an awesome quality in the church that we want to not give up on people.
Yeah.
People, if they don't come to church, something's happening, we go after them. And I know several times you have done things out of your own heart and gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that Peter Uncle had met with an accident and Johnny totally took care of Peter Uncle. Awesome. Fantastic. Physically hurt. Nobody told Johnny to do anything. He just went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And I know that we are the kind of people, we will go, we'll persevere because we don't want people to leave God and God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It says over here, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. I think we have a hard line rule that we will not play with sin.
Yeah.
And we all agree with that.
Yes.
You know, you don't say I'm a Christian and then you are messing around. Or people say they're Christians and they're still involved in sin and practicing sin.
Uh-huh.
I know we are intense. We want to pull those people out from
yes.
there.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
They says that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not.
Mm.
In other words, what the church in Ephesus did was it actually tested. Found out if some preacher was true or false.
Yeah.
And I know for the fact that we are a church, we don't just, some famous guy doesn't become famous over here.
Yeah.
We tell them, if you're famous, you should be famous according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Not famous because the world has made you famous.
Yeah.
You see, the world can make you famous. But what we should be striving for, and I know we strive for, is that God is going to make us famous.
Amen.
God should be telling and giving us his approval, not the world's approval. Are you with me? So this is awesome. And it says over here, you followed apostles and then found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Sunshine or rain, we come to church.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we come to church ahead of time.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. You know, you look at this, and like I said, our church is much like this. If we have a church meeting at 12 o'clock in the night, I think we will be there.
Yeah.
We will land up.
Yeah.
I believe leaders meeting, most probably all of us will be over here.
Yeah.
I know that. There's one thing Jesus addresses. He says over here in verse 4. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Now, after all that what Jesus said, he goes, listen, this is all fantastic, and he should be doing this. And he says, but you have forsaken your first love. I must say, today I felt a little bit cold in the room. Not because the AC was running and it was raining outside, not because the fans were running. I came to church, I was fully wet, drenched. It just rained, I just came in the rain. Yeah, I'm dry now, it's good. But I felt there was a little bit of coldness.
Uh-huh.
When you're cold, you cannot be bold.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is hard even to say amen.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, were you able to say amen? It's hard, right? It's hard.
Yeah.
Because see, one of the things I think we have forgotten, and in the scriptures we have forsaken, is forsaken means, you know, just turning it down, forcefully saying no. Other things have cramped up into our life. One of the things is, we have lost our love for God. Let's be honest. Tell me what is something that fires you up?
Uh-huh.
Food is one thing.
Yeah.
I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Food is one. Oh, good.
Movies
is another one. Okay. We're getting real now.
Shopping
is another one. Okay. Now we're getting real now. Yes. Music is another one. All right. Video games.
Parties.
Okay. Now we're getting real. Guys,
yeah.
No. We don't come to church and be artificial. Let's get real now. What else?
Soccer
for some people, football for some, sleeping.
Yeah.
Bro, honestly, I didn't want to come to church today, bro. I was feeling cold and I felt going inside the quilt and being there. Okay, all right. What else?
Adventure
for some of us. Oh, what, Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
You guys, oh, man, I can connect to anybody I want to. Ding! You're excited about it.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, I want to see the Facebook, how many likes I had after my new DP picture. Oh, my God, 125 likes. Ooh! You're excited. You want people to like the picture you put there. Be honest, girl.
Yeah.
Be honest over there. All right. What about WhatsApp? She changed the DP. Top. Oh, look at the pose. Oh, how did she get that background? I have to do it now. Is it this way? Oh, I gotta do something. That's it, the new thing that fires up. It doesn't fire me. I'm the old guy. I'm not this too much on Facebook, WhatsApp kind of thing. Let me change the DP stuff like that. But, you know, I think this is happening, right? I mean, different things excites us and we get excited about it.
Yeah.
And I must say, and of course, ringtones. For some of us, it's a crazy ringtone we have. Remember, in the beginning when the cell phones came, are you there about? I remember when the cell phones came, I'm going to tell you. So maybe you weren't born into the cell phone generation, but cell phones were just being introduced.
Yeah.
And then there would be this, we were in the bank, and suddenly, everybody's like, what happened? And the guy who has a cell phone will gently pull it out. And he look at it as though something surprising. And it's, and the music is going on. Da, 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 da. He's like, and then he gets everybody's attention. Everybody's looking at him. Okay. Hello. People used to give direction with cell phones. Oh, that way, sir. This way. My car is parked over here. You want to go there? It's always cell phone in the hand. It was those days when cell phone was just being introduced. Now, of course, we put it in the back, pocket and everything. But there was one time we do it. But you got to be careful with cell phones, though. But, and I think what has happened is, slowly, without our knowledge, these things that fire us up has started creeping into our lives. And it has literally taken over your life. You know why you can't sometimes smile? Have you ever wondered? Like, smile. Ask somebody, how much do I smile? Hey, bro! Bro, how are things going?
Good problem. That's good
problem. Bro, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Bro, you don't seem to be fired up and excited, bro.
I'm fired up.
Ask, just ask somebody to tell you.
Yeah.
Some of us have lost the glow that you had when you got baptized.
Yeah.
Ah. When you want to get baptized, you're like, man, I don't care what comes in the way. Motherfucker, doesn't matter. I don't want job, I don't want food, I don't want nothing. I want to be saved.
Yeah.
That was your policy. You had a spark in your eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you got busy doing busy things. Not just outside, but inside the church.
Yeah.
I'm ushering door now. I'm serving communion now. I'm doing the communion now. I'm doing contribution now. And I think we have replaced God in our lives with stuff that is simply destroying our souls.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, today, right now, you make the decision to repent. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Whatever comes in your life, because it's not. Imagine Jesus. Jesus was Christian, and imagine Jesus having problems and this and that. Imagine the disciples, Jesus. Is that like I'm excited to share about the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
No wonder if you're not happy, you don't feel like inviting anybody.
Yeah.
Think about it. And you got to ask yourself, what is it today that you have replaced it? You have. You have replaced it. Today you replace it back with God Himself.
Yeah.
You gotta make that decision. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
You gotta go, no more of this nonsense that's coming into my life. You know, I'm excited that Johnson announced about the 5 hours of mountaintop experience.
Yeah.
I hope you're fired up about that.
Yeah.
Independence Day is a holiday. Don't tell me you're working on Independence Day.
Yeah.
It's a holiday. And you got to make a decision, and you got to plan now what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Don't take, if you are a sleepy guy, don't take 2 more sleepy guys with you. 5 hours, you'll be sleeping away. What were you doing, bro? I was sleeping with the Lord. No, we don't want that. You take some brother, some sister who's going to poke you, nudge you, inspire you, and spur you on towards love.
Yeah.
Loving God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so you gotta think about it. I've already decided. My time is 4 to 9 in the morning. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
It's been 4 to 6. I will just extend it to 9, and I will do it.
Amen.
You know, I'll do it. I have no problem with that. What is your time?
Mm.
Have you fixed up a time? You can do 12 to 5. Don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, we had a prayer room
at the
GLC conference.
Yes.
And, you know, people were, Kip had asked all of us to fill a slot, 1 hour of prayer time, so we can have a chain prayer throughout the conference.
Uh-huh.
I remember going there, I said, you know what? Give me Friday night, 12 to 5 in the morning. I said, I'll pray. Don't give me 1 hour, give me 5 hours. But let me ask you this. When Johnson announced, how did your heart go? Oh, I thought I'll wash my clothes. Oh, I thought I'll go for a movie. Is that what you got, depressed?
Uh-huh.
Or did you go, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, we still haven't got that edge now.
Uh-huh.
We still, I'll do maybe 12 to 5 in the afternoon. Maybe I'll take 2 breaks and I'll somehow complete 5 hours. Is that what is coming to your mind?
Uh-huh.
Or is it like, man, this is the best stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody thought, this is awesome. Thank you, Johnson. Where are you? Let me give you a big hug and a kiss. That's where you should be going.
Yeah.
And I feel that some of us are like, I thought of going to my Uru to meet my mommy and daddy. And you, know, bro, you cut off the good thing I had, bro. No peace in the church after I joined the church. So much of I've become, you know, brother. No time for me, brother. No personal time for me, brother. Your personal time comes from God.
Yes.
If God wants, he stops your clock, you're dead.
Yes.
Then let's see what you do with your personal time.
Yeah.
Your personal time, no, there's nothing called personal time. It's borrowed time from God.
Yeah.
Get the perspective. God has given you a time.
Yeah.
God can stop that time and cut it back.
Amen.
You should get fired up in Jesus that you're going to be praying for 5 hours.
Yeah.
No, not enough. You need to get fired up for Jesus that you're praying for 5 hours on August the 15th.
Yeah.
No, not enough. You've got to get fired up. That you're going to be praying for 5 hours on the 15th of August.
Yeah!
Not enough. You've got to get fired up that you're going to be praying for 5 hours on the 15th of August. There you go. Now we're getting there.
Yeah.
Now we're getting there. Now we're fired up. You're going to replace this garbage in your heart. You're going to replace that stuff.
Yeah.
I can see now smiles coming back in your faces. Good.
Yeah.
That's how dead you have become, guys.
Amen.
And that's what is Jesus addressing over here. He says, great job loving people, following up, persevering, doing this good job. But he says, no!
Yes. Preach it.
You better repent.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Look at the verse. Verse 5. Consider how far you have fallen.
Yes.
Repent and do the things you did at first.
Yes.
If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place.
Wow.
Just because you're in this church doesn't mean you'll go to heaven.
Yeah. That's right. Preach it.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
If somebody told you that, that's garbage.
Yeah.
That's garbage. Oh, whatever it is, I'll be in the church. Nah. You got to love God.
Yes. Yes.
With all your heart.
Yes.
With all your mind. With all your soul. With all your strength.
Yes.
God should be number one in your life. Forever and ever. There should be no replacement of that one.
Yeah.
That's right.
then you be in the church, then you make it.
Yeah. Amen.
Just being in the church, sitting like, you know, idols, takes you nowhere.
Yeah.
Got to make sure your heart loves God.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Point number one, be prayerful.
Come on, bro.
Be prayerful. Second point, be faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Be faithful. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in the prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I'll give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Point number two, be faithful. You know, God is, Jesus talking over here, he says, he is the first and the last who died and came to life again. For a long time, I always thought that, you know, God should not die. If somebody is God, then he should not die. That was a funda I had. And I felt like, you know, because if he dies, that means that there is something lacking in him, that he's not omnipresent, he's not all-powerful. I like the way Jesus says over here. He says, who is the first and the last who died and came to life again. Want to change our mindset a little bit? Just because something or somebody lives forever doesn't mean it's all powerful. What is more powerful is something that is living, it dies, and lives again.
Wow.
Because once something dies, it is impossible to be brought back to life. And so when Jesus says, you know, that he died and came to life again, is way more powerful than just remaining forever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is also encouraging because Jesus says, if I died and I came back to life, that means if you are going to be faithful and you die, you will come back to life again.
Wow.
That's what Jesus is saying over here. And he says over here, you know, Jesus says, I know your afflictions, your poverty, and your rich, and I know that you handle, you know, the slander that goes on about stuff and everything. But he says, you know what? Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
Verse 10 says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. We had the Indian contingent just go get the visas and everything. So everybody arrived in Manila, Philippines. And you know how it is. In the immigration section, the U.S. disciples saw the Indian disciples. Hey, bro! Hey! And so there was a hi-fi, this, that, and already at the immigration, there's a noise, a mini GLC is taking place. Like, hi, but hey, bro, I don't know what's happening. Okay, so all that happened, and I'm sure the immigration officer noticed that there's a big bunch of guys coming in, what's happening? Of course, US guys, US citizens, they're not gonna say anything, so they caught hold of our Indian brothers and sisters. So there were 10 of them. Sorry, there was 11 up there. And so they all walked in and they go, hey, all right, how many of you are together? Get the whole bunch. There were two more poor guys from Chennai. They're not disciples. They're coming from, they got them also inside. You look brownie, get inside. So all the brownie guys are inside one room, and they were, you know, talking. They found out that these two people were not part of a group, so they said, okay, go. But the rest were inside. They said, what is it? So they all showed the visa. They said, we come for a conference. Great. And then they went one by one. So like, ting, 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 ting. In other words, there was a short person there. That was Ishita. Okay, you guys have come for the conference. What is this little girl doing over here? So Johnson Vandana responsibly explained that, you know what? Her parents are over here. And so she has come here for the conference. Nope. You guys can't go. All the rest of you go. They sent everybody off. But Johnson Vandana was there along with Ishita in a room. And they said, you're not going anywhere. They get in touch with us. Of course, there was no phone. So thanks to WhatsApp. So their WhatsApp is good. So, I mean, come on, work for the WhatsApp call. Or the WhatsApp display, no, WhatsApp call, right? Okay, all right. Ben is in tune. So they called, and we called, spoke back and forth. And the immigration officer wanted money. He said, if you pay a certain amount of money, what, 3,100 something? 3,120, I don't know how they came to the figure, but if you pay 3,120, then you can take Ishita and go, and like, come into the country. So Vandana asked, seriously, if this is safety measure, why would 3,120 pesos will give permission for her to come inside? So officer was stuck. He's like, okay, every time a different guy comes, and they were actually giving trouble. Ishita was scared a little bit. She was like, oh my God. And Johnson said, bro, you have to come. I said, Johnson, stay there. Vandana, stay there. Talk to them boldly, and they will be fine. Yeah. This is all gimmicks of trying to figure out things. Stay there. And of course, after 2 or 3 hours of this ordeal, they came back safe to the hotel. And so it was awesome to have them back over there. Amen. Verse 10 says, do not be afraid. Let me tell you, when you're caught up with a deadly problem, you're not thinking about WhatsApp and Facebook at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I tell you, when a harm is caused on your body, you're not thinking about money, you're not thinking about school, college, work, my job, you're not thinking about that.
Yeah.
Suddenly everything that seemed so important seems not important at all. Mm. Imagine somebody comes and threatens you, if you keep following Jesus, I'm going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
How much are you thinking about your display picture?
Uh-huh.
Your Facebook post? Your Instagram updates. Are you thinking about that? No, you don't. It's amazing how certain things can come and change your entire perspective.
Yeah.
It says over here, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. 10 days, short period of time. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. You guys, being faithful is a big thing.
Yeah.
Not when everything is going fine.
That's right.
When everything starts going topsy-turvy and things do not go the way you want it to go. I remember in Delhi, we baptized a sister, and she was from Brahm Kumari, serious person. And she became convinced, she studied the Bible, got convinced that Brahm Kumari is not the truth, and that Jesus is the true way and life and truth. And so she gets baptized, her parents are upset, mom is mad. and there's constant persecution happening. And I remember one night, heard a knock on my door, opened it. Surely was this sister's mother there. She entered. She didn't ask, may I? She just entered. And behind her was this guy, all red attire, had a trishul in his hand. Walked in. And his question was, how dare you are converting my daughter into a Christian? And I tell you, these guys were serious guys. He would have had no problem bashing me, hitting me, or even killing me. I was scared inside. I said, but I kept talking to the mother and said, you know what, your daughter's life has changed. She's in good hands, back and forth, back and forth. But I tell you, I was scared. Some of you have forgotten what is true Christianity. You're playing games. A little bit of rain, you have problem coming to church. A little bit of sunshine, I can't. A little bit of fever, What will happen to you if somebody puts a knife on your throat right over there and says, hey, say, Jesus is not God. Or call another name of God. Say it. If you're not, I'm going to kill you. Would you last? Would you last?
Preach it.
If you're not going to last, forget it. Yeah. Stop coming to church.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
You not thought about the actual consequence of persecution.
Yeah. That's right.
Nothing has happened to you. Nobody's coming after you.
Yeah.
And you have a problem to come to meetings. You have a problem to come to church.
Yeah.
You have a problem reading your Bible.
Yes.
You have a problem inviting people. No one is persecuting you.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah.
And you're crying like a baby. Oh, something will happen. What will happen? Nothing will happen. Let me tell you an assurance. You will die one day.
Yes.
You go, who, me? Yeah, you. You will die.
Yes.
You don't want to live forever.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
And you got to start making some calculations in your head. How are you going to die?
Yes.
Victorious, praising God, living for Jesus, or betraying Him?
Preach it.
How are you going to die?
Yeah.
Faithful or unfaithful? You got to make a decision this morning that you're going to die as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
You're going to fight about the fact I'm going to be faithful forever. You go, bro, I have no job. Be faithful.
Yeah, that's right.
Bro, I have no money. Be faithful.
Yeah.
I still give you a contribution. You go, bro, I don't know, I'm feeling sick. Be faithful if you're feeling sick.
Yes.
Stop being uncommitted just because you're sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Preach it.
Yeah.
Be faithful.
Yeah.
Yes, bro.
God is great.
Yeah.
He's great. He'll take care of things.
Yeah.
You've got to be faithful. Bro, I have real persecution from family. Be faithful.
Yes.
God rules your family.
Yes.
He is the head.
Yeah.
He's the one who has everything in control. Be faithful.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, what's gonna happen? That's what I'm asking you. What's gonna happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, what's gonna happen? What's the worst that's gonna happen?
Preach it.
You will die.
Yeah.
That's the worst that's gonna happen.
Yes.
Next one. How do you plan to die?
Yeah.
How do you plan to die? I want to die preaching the word of God.
Amen.
And if you say you're a disciple of Christ, you better figure that one out pretty soon.
Yes.
That you want to die preaching God's word, exalting God, lifting up God's name up on high.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to think about this, guys.
Yeah.
I died in an accident. Something happened. I died lying on the bed. You got to, man, I want to die preaching the word.
That's yeah. Right.
I want to preach the word to people. I want to save people because I know I'm already saved.
Yeah.
I'm already saved.
Amen. Yeah.
You see, if you're already saved, you don't care about how you're going to die.
Yeah.
You don't care about that. That doesn't bring a fear in you. Ah, the fear will be there if you have not talked about your heart.
Yes.
Either stuff you stored inside, sins, garbage inside, and you've not spoken about them, then you're scared to die.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh my God, I'm going to be held accountable by God. Yes, you're going to be held accountable. I hope you get fired up about your 5 hour quiet time with God on August 15th.
Yeah.
And before you start that, you better grab a brother or a sister and go, sis, you know what? I need to talk to you. My heart is all garbage. Let me speak. Speak, talk, confess, get right, and you have an awesome time.
Amen.
When you meet God for 5 hours, you go, 5 hours, I'll do 6 hours.
Amen.
I'll do 7 hours. You have an awesome time. You'll come back radiant.
Yeah.
Not dull and discouraged.
Yeah.
Gotta think about this. Gotta think about it. You want to be a faithful person.
Yeah.
Faithful to the end.
Amen.
Jesus says over here, be faithful even to the point of death.
That's right.
He didn't say till you die.
Yeah.
Point of death. Once you're dead, you are forever faithful.
Amen.
Will I be faithful after death? Be faithful now. Everything else is taken care of. Many people worry about, where will you bury me, bro, when I die? We're not burying you anywhere.
Yeah.
You'll be faithfully with God.
Yeah.
What does he worry?
Yeah.
Stop. Bro, I'm a little bit scared. Does the church have a burial ground? No, we don't have a burial ground.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure you're taken care of.
Amen.
And Jesus has made sure that he's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
We die, he's going to say, hey, I have many rooms up there. I'll take you.
Yeah. Yeah.
One room for you.
I
need my space. You will get your space.
Amen.
It says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. I will give you life as your victor's crown. The one who gives life is God.
Yes.
The one who gives you life after you die is God again.
Yeah.
It's God again. The one who gave you life before you became a Christian was God.
That's right.
The one who gave you life when you were rumbling and turning in your mother's womb was God.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. He is the one who's in control.
Yeah.
He runs it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Thank you for your attention, and may God bless you. Let's have an awesome time with Jesus.
Yeah.